Welcome back to Word and Table. I'm your host, Alex Wilgus, here as always with Father Stephen Gauthier, canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest and the Anglican Church of North America, coming to you from sunny Oak Park, Illinois, to talk about all things liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship. So the topic we're dealing with this week is, what is the church, or what do we mean when we talk about the church in the Anglican tradition?
Well, the word we use, the word church itself, comes from a Greek word, which in the Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, was used to talk about the congregation when Israel gathered together. Was called the called ones, the ones who were called out, the congregation, like a convocation, the ones called out. In the New Testament, that word is used to describe the church. But it's much more than that. The New Testament has a lot to say about the church. It describes the church primarily as the body of Christ. It also describes as the temple of God. It talks about the church as the people of God. So it's the household of God. So all of those things, but primarily the body of Christ.
What do you mean when you say the body of Christ?
That's a really good point, because this isn't a metaphor. You know, one of the things the evangelist Luke had to deal with was the question of, what's our relationship to Jesus? Because the gospel was written several decades after the Lord had ascended to heaven. And the question becomes, well, the Lord's in heaven and we're waiting for his return, but what now? How do we understand today now between his being with us in the flesh, mm-hmm. and his being now with the Father? How do we understand that? Are we looking back like people who look back at a great moment in time, look at the Second World War or something like that, or to a hero, some hero?
Try to take lessons from it.
Exactly. What does it really mean? And Luke, his answer to, and also, what's the continuity with the Old Testament? Did God sort of give up on the Jewish thing? What happened here? And Luke saw the great theme of continuity was the Holy Spirit. We say the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit, which is the breath of God, the life of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is also what is given to the church. And so what the church basically is, it's not a metaphor. The church actually is, Christ says he's the head, we're his body. That is, we form as a whole, we form the body of Christ. And within that body, just as the body contains the breath, you have your body, but the breath is inside of you, and you can see your chest rise and fall, the Holy Spirit is within that body. And that body, to every member, Paul loves to talk about this, is dependent on each other. They cannot function independently. You can't have a hand deciding to do its own thing alone. A hand has to be connected to a body.
But the church, you're saying that the church is where the Holy Spirit is.
Right. The church is how Jesus kept the promise he'd be always with us. We sometimes, in practical terms, say, well, Jesus was with us in the flesh and when he ascended to heaven, and he's going to come back, and those are both true things. But it's sort of like we're just sort of waiting. He's up in heaven. The scriptures tell us, though, I am with you always, Matthew says at the Great Commission. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. He said, I am with you always. So where do we see Jesus isn't out? He's here. So Jesus actually has continued his ministry. That's why in the Acts of the apostles do all the miracles Jesus does, even raise the dead. It's a sign that Jesus, the power of Jesus, his strength, his living presence, functions through his church, the body of believers. Notice they receive the Holy Spirit as a community. They're sitting in, they're in community, together in community. We receive the Holy Spirit.
So the church is still the church, even when you go home, right? It's not just when
right.
you get together and sing songs and take the sacraments and all that.
Exactly right,
It's still all of us, all the time in our
all
lives.
All the time, the body of Christ. Whether we, somebody is our brother and sister, whether we like them or not. I mean, think physically speaking, the fact that we might not even know they exist. That doesn't change the fact they are what they are. Mm. It is a reality. When we're reborn into Christ, we become part of his body. He's the head, and every one of us is a member of that body.
So I have a question for you then. Mm-hmm. There's been times where I've come across people who don't go to any particular gathering of church. They don't go and worship with anyone else. But they stay home, but still say, oh, I have my own private worship that I do. So if we're the church, no matter where we are, then is it still important to gather together with other believers? Why is that important?
Well, Hebrews famously said not to neglect the gathering together with the saints, as is the custom of some. But it's not a matter of guilt. It's quite the opposite. We have to distinguish between how we act as church. For example, in prayer, we have two types of prayer. We have the things you're talking about are beautiful things. All of us have had those experiences, special things that work for us. We really feel very
individually
in the presence. Those are good things. And those are not to be despised. So those are very, very real. But as individuals, that's true, but we're more than that. We're part of a body, and it's those things where we function as the body together, and that we need that. One is not a substitute for the other. It's at the core of our worship, we share in the common life of Christ. And it's prayer. Remember, the Christ, Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews, is Christ is now bringing our case before the Father. As the we're called a priestly people, right? We're talking about priest, you know, a royal nation, a priestly people. Mm-hmm. Is we share in Christ's priesthood. We share that together. And so we come together in our common worship, you know, as the body. We do some things together common about, we join actually with Christ's prayer. And other things are individual devotion. So we make the distinction between liturgy and devotion. But there's no substitute for joining in the prayer of the church.
So the idea is that we need both.
Right, right. Remember, Jesus said, this is how they'll know your disciples, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you love one another. There's something we do together. We can't do that apart.
Uh-huh.
So again, that's what we come together. That's, you know, it's something we, it's sort of like creating new life. You know, God was, God could have made it possible for us just to have children without the opposite sex, but it's not possible. In a sense, we need one another to fulfill what we're meant to be. We can't really, from that point of view, biologically, we can't be a man without a woman. We can't be a woman without, the two together is what allows new life. And in the church, being members of that body, we can't be fully what we are, the full realization of that, without our working together in the body. We meet Christ in a very special way in the assembly. Mm-hmm. It's there that we meet him in, you know, word and table. We can't do Eucharist alone. You know, we hear the word of God differently together in the body than we do individually. They're both precious. But the one is in no means a substitute for the other. A way I would compare it to is like a lot of people look upon church sometimes, I think, as like coin collecting. You could be a great coin collector, and you don't have to belong to a coin collecting club. You could read up on the literature. You could do a pretty good job yourself. The reason you join a coin collecting club is maybe they have good speakers, they have good information, you can trade off coins. And sometimes if we feel that way, it's really between me and Jesus, and if other people can help me in that regard, great, but that's the primary story.
Mm.
And it's the church isn't at all like that. It's something we don't do alone. Salvation is something we do together. You know, it's the body that's saved. We are saved by virtue of being part of that body. Again, Jesus said the fundamental witness is loving one another. John says in 1 John, he says, we're fooling ourselves. We think we can love God, whom we haven't seen, and we don't love our brother, whom we have seen. So it's essential. That's the heart of our Christian walk, is our life together. It's our witness of common love, our exercising the special gifts given for one another. That's the heart of our walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be a Christian alone is like trying to be a hand detached from the body. It simply can't be a hand. It can't do what it can't exist separately. It can't do what it's designed to do. So again, the idea that we have, that we in our individual spiritual life is part of our walk, is part of a walk in community. But it's no substitute for the life of community. Our first duty, you know, our first duty as a husband or wife is to live with our spouse.
So we meet together as a body here and now, and that's, we find the Holy Spirit there. But are we who are alive today, what's our relationship to the apostles, the first apostles who were first sent out by Jesus? Are we connected to them at all?
Well, yes, as we know, Jesus' ministry didn't stop with Jesus. It continued with his apostles. In the same way, the ministry of the apostles, which is the ministry of Jesus, didn't stop with their death. It continued. They anointed those after they laid on hands for those who come as their successors after them. So the church is something that's across time and space. The church around the world is one church, one body. Because we eat the one bread, we drink the one cup. Paul says that makes us one body, or one body in Christ.
Yeah. So we're kind of like in that lineage, like
But also, it's, I think a better way to understand this is, when we talk about lineage, we tend to think of lineage, we think of there are a lot of dead people. in church, it doesn't work that way. Remember once the Sadducees, a group of people in the old who didn't believe in the resurrection of the body, thought they could trap Jesus with a question, you know, about a man who had been married to a number of women as to which one would be his wife in the resurrection.
They're trying to get at the absurdity of the resurrection.
The absurdity of the resurrection. But the point Jesus makes is an important point for us. He says that, well, if there's no resurrection, he says, why do the scriptures say he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because he's the God of the living, not the dead. He said they are living, all are living in him. So we're told, and we have other evidence in the New Testament, that we don't simply slumber until the resurrection. We are with the Lord. That's why Paul says, for example, one epistle, he says, it's a hard call for me. He said, I'd love to be with the Lord, you know, now, but I need to be here. I have to, my duties towards you, what I want to do to help you. Well, for just the resurrection, that wouldn't make any sense. He clearly expected he could be tonight. He could be with the Lord right now. And so what that means for us is, for example, at our service, as we gather around the table in the great traditions, all of us, we have the holy, 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 and right before that, we have something saying, joining with all the hosts of heaven, and we talk about all the company of heaven, the angels, archangels, all the company of heaven. The company of heaven is the saints throughout the ages. Mm-hmm. So think of it this way. We have a doctrine called the communion of saints, and what it means, it's in the creed, and it means that because we partake one bread, we are one body. So it's saying our baptism and our participation in Eucharist make us that body. But that doesn't end with death. So every time we celebrate Eucharist, we're surrounded. It's a one Eucharist across time and across space. Everyone is present at that Eucharist. So the saints past, all of us, our dead loved ones, we're all in that same moment of time. We're brought there, you know, together at the moment of Christ's death in Calvary.
So in a spiritual way, all those that have gone before in the church are still with us. They're still present.
There is, again, as Jesus said, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living.
Well, that's all for this week's episode. Remember that you can write to the show at wordtablepodcast@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to answer your questions about all things pertaining to liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship. You can also find us on Twitter @word_table. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks for listening.